This is Free Talk Live. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Chris.
And we have some rather interesting stories tonight. Plus, we'll be taking your phone calls. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You may recall, if you've listened to the show before, you may recall about a month and a half ago, I think it was, we talked about how the pimping charges had been dropped against the operators of Backpage.com. And Chris, you actually asked me a question that I thought you were just joking.
You thought I was joking. No, I said, Backpage? Question mark. Because the story goes back a few years, and it just hadn't been at the top of my head.
Right. So Backpage, for those of you also asking that same question of, what's Backpage? Backpage is a competitor of Craigslist. And you may recall, or you may not, depending on how old you are, but you may recall that several years ago, Craigslist had intimate encounters section.
Yeah, it was a place where people who were offering escort services might advertise their wares.
Yes. Erotic massage, things along those lines. And, well, Craigslist wound up removing that section. Along comes Backpage and they say, we'll take your escorts. Yes, we will. And, you know, that kind of became the thing that Backpage was known for. Mm-hmm. And so that wound up causing California Attorney General Kamala Harris to file pimping charges and then ultimately dropping those pimping charges. And then a couple of weeks later, this in late December, bringing new criminal charges against the operators of Backpage.com, accusing them of laundering earnings from escorts, as well as pimping children and adult women on the website.
So these guys that were running this website, they must have been meeting with these women, and if they were pimping them. Daryl, you're interrupting me before I can finish my thought here.
I know I'm interrupting you because they didn't do any of the things that you were going to ask if they did.
Well, I mean, did they strike them firmly with the back of their hands?
No.
Did they ever probably meet them?
They never said, better have my money. They never did any of that.
Any of those caricatures. Okay. Did they take a cut of the monies that passed between, say, John and provider?
Possibly, because, you know, if you want photos in your ad, you do have to pay for having photos. So they were making money.
I got to do that on eBay, too.
Right. So they were making money, but they were not the ones directly involved. And again, these new charges were filed 2 weeks after, and I misremembered. I thought that Kamala Harris had dropped the charges. It was actually the judge that threw out the charges, ruling that the website and other websites are protected from lawsuits when they publish speech posted by other people.
Right.
So there's, I forget what the federal law is. You might remember the name of it, but there's, you know, some computer something something act that basically says that a website operator cannot be held liable for what third parties post on the website.
And that's a rare good law.
Right. So, for instance, freetalklive.com is Reddit integrated so that you can post show prep topics that, you know, things that you want us to talk about, you can post on the site.
Right.
So if somebody winds up posting something that is illegal content or links to illegal content, Free Talk Live cannot be held liable for what that third party posts on the site.
What if it has to do with escorts?
Well, again, the Sacramento judge threw the case out. Kamala Harris then files another criminal complaint, a 40-count criminal complaint, Mr. Harris, or no, not Mr. This is Attorney General Kamala Harris, accused the operators of, quote, personally creating profiles for thousands of women, including minors, to increase revenue from the illegal sex trade. The profiles appeared on their two other websites, Big City and Evil Empire, which were used to draw web traffic to the Backpage prostitution business, according to the complaint. The complaint lists 10 victims whose profiles were created without their knowledge, allegedly. In one case, a woman contacted Backpage to remove her photo from Evil Empire, but was told by Backpage staff that the two companies were not affiliated and therefore her picture could not be removed, according to the complaint. Chief Executive Carl Ferrer, who is 55, along with the site's former owners Michael Lacey and James Larkin, who are 68 and 67 respectively, are charged with more than two dozen counts of money laundering and one count of conspiracy to commit pimping. So they're not even charged with pimping. They're just charged with talking about pimping.
Right. Well, there's a couple things that come to mind here. First of all, that this is protected speech. This should be protected speech. If you're running a website and people happen to use it for untoward reasons that may be illegal, then under current, at least under case law, you're kind of protected there. The second,
I'm going to stop you.
Kinda protected
and
there.
Say that no, there was an absolutely horrible, and I can't finish my full thought here without saying words that would get us kicked off the radio. But there was an absolutely horrible, horrible, horrible court precedent out of the Manhattan Federal Court where Judge Forrest, she made the ruling that, yes, you can be held criminally liable for things that get posted on your website if your name is Ross Ulbricht and somebody sells drugs.
Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing that I don't know about is whether the charges that he had posted people's pictures and profiles, I don't know if that's bad. That's not a good thing to do if he did that, if
right.
they did that.
And there's not really any evidence that they're reporting on in the LA Times that says that it was the CEO or the former founders that created the profiles.
Right.
And not just somebody was scrolling through FetLife and found some erotic photos and said, I'm going to post these on Backpage.
Right. And I would be understandably upset if my likeness was out there as a prostitute.
You sure you wouldn't be flattered, Chris?
Well, I might be flattered for a minute or two, but I do kind of get that. So I think it's important to point out the insanity of why we're even talking about this. Why courts are even involved, because this is, if this is a quote-unquote crime, it's a victimless crime.
Right.
Harris, if two people do decide to hook up and exchange money.
You know, at least in California, where this case is being filed, and here in New Hampshire, where this show is being broadcast, if you film it with the intent to distribute for making a profit, it's perfectly legal.
Right.
And that has been upheld numerous times. Harris, however, said that the charges are based on new evidence. Lawyers for the men previously pointed to the Federal Communications Decency Act. That's the federal law that I was trying to think of the name of earlier, which frees online publishers from liability over users posting and has repeatedly interpreted, or rather repeatedly been interpreted, to trump state criminal laws. The men argued that Attorney General Harris was well aware that they were protected because she signed a 2013 letter with other state attorneys general that unsuccessfully lobbied for an amendment to the federal law that would have allowed for state-level criminal prosecutions.
Wow.
And as Billy Mays would say, but wait, there's more, because something happened just a couple of days ago. Stay tuned.
The
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll get back into this story out of California because, well, we're kind of shifting from what just happened to, or what happened a couple of weeks ago with Backpage, where we, you know, have sort of been following the story for a while. And, well, there's a new development, and we'll tell you what that new development is here in just a moment. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Chris.
And how would you like to try the best pillow that you will ever use? Absolutely risk-free for 60 days. That's, you get to use the pillow risk-free for 60 days, not it's only the best pillow for 60 days. I'm talking about MyPillow. Well, you can't come have mine, but you can get your very own MyPillow that is designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. I've been using it for almost a year now. Chris has been using one for several years, and we both agree, as does Ian, it's the best pillow we've ever had. And unlike a regular pillow that collects dead skin and dirt over the years, well, the MyPillow might do that too, but you can pull it out of the pillowcase, throw it in the washer, throw it in the dryer, and still use it.
That is the coolest thing too.
Go to MyPillow.com, use code FTL, as in Free Talk Live, to get your own MyPillow at half price, or get a second pillow free of charge. And remember, if you don't like it in the first 60 days, you get your money back. And the pillow itself, it's guaranteed to last 10 years. That's MyPillow.com, code FTL. Back to the article from, or not back to, but to the new article from the LA Times. Headline, Backpage shuts down adult section citing government pressure and unlawful censorship campaign. And this happened just a couple days ago, January 9th, which again, you may recall the December 23rd was when Kamala Harris filed new charges against the CEO and former owners of Backpage on pimping and money laundering and basically stuff that they never should have been charged with. Well, Backpage has now shut down the adult entertainment section of their site. Story again from LA Times says Backpage, one of the world's largest classified ad websites and a frequent target in the political battle against sex trafficking, closed its adult ad section on Monday in the United States, claiming to be the victim of a government witch hunt. The extraordinary move came shortly after the release of a scathing U.S. Senate report that accused Backpage of, wait for this, Chris, hiding criminal activity by deleting terms from ads that indicated sex trafficking or prostitution. They also claim that there was prostitution and trafficking of children. The abrupt closure came on the eve of the scheduled testimony of Backpage's founder, Michael Lacey, and James Larkin, and the site's CEO, Carl Ferrer, before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs Subcommittee on Investigations.
So one thing that gets brought up, and it gets tossed around a lot, is the charges of sex trafficking, and it's basically slave labor. It is taking women who, against their will, are being put into prostitution. And I don't want anyone to think that this does not absolutely occur. It really does. And it's a horrendous crime. And no one here would ever support that.
Correct.
But I do know that many women choose to go into sex work. And sex work can be acting in adult films. It can be a massage, you know, with benefits,
right?
If I may,
well,
or it can be prostitution,
or depending on how broadly you define the term, because it's not really defined anywhere. So
right.
You know, you kind of get to make up your own definitions. Stephanie Murphy, who's former co-host of Free Talk Live, she hosts a podcast, Sex and Science Hour, and she's also a voiceover artist, and she does some erotic ebook narrations. Is that sex work? Because it's definitely erotica.
Right.
You know, she's not doing, you know, the hands-on stuff.
Right. Where do you
draw the line?
Right. And nobody can and nobody does. But as I believe a senator once famously said, I know it when I see it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is. It's one of those things. And like I said, this is what government tends to do is when there is something heinous going on, like human trafficking, like sex slavery, which is a real thing, then they can use that as an excuse to attack things that they just don't agree with morally. And I hate when I see us go down that path, because it's denying people their freedom. If it's your body, and I believe that you can do with it what you want, and I believe you can put into it whatever you want, that's up to you. And if that's a life you chose, and you see it as a good way to make money and to take care of yourself and take care of your family, I'm the last guy who's going to argue with you.
And there's more on this, but let's go to the phones. We've got JR calling in from Arizona. JR, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Chris, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I'd like to talk to you about the non-aggression principle.
It just seems like I haven't been on lately. But how are you doing, James?
There's somebody that gets in the middle of it. It's James Robert, by the way. That's where I get JR from.
Okay, I didn't know your middle name. How are you tonight?
I don't bear false witness ever on the public radios, unlike people you hang out with.
Okay, so what did you call about?
Well, the non-aggression principle and blowback.
Okay.
This despicable, immoral sentiment that you and all your fellow libertarian friends at the broadcast from that studio always seem to have as a fallback line when it involves certain Americans or just allies of ours getting murdered by Islamic terrorists. And it's always an excuse as well, we had it coming anyway because we shouldn't be over there.
No, it's never an excuse.
We're over there in many countries, in Islamic countries, by invitation of the governments that I don't support, by the way, at all. None of them. I don't support a single Middle Eastern government except for the one that resides in Israel. I support that government.
Okay.
That government, you can go on the public airwaves and bash all you want to your heart's content, just like in America, and you ain't going to have anything happen to you, nothing. But any country east of Israel, if you go on the public radios and bash Islamism or Islamic fanatics, you might be a dead man before you get out of the studio.
No, you're absolutely right.
The people that would commit that murder wouldn't have anything to worry about. So
no.
I want to talk about that because that's the blowback culture that you guys are defending.
Well, I've given you a chance, so let me lay out what I think blowback means to me, because that's all it is. I don't know if when I say
like
blowback, I don't know if when I use the term blowback, it's I feel the same way. We're going to a break, James. Can you hold
Thanks
on?
Thanks for the call, JR.
Hey. Oh, come on.
You can finish your thought.
I know.
He got time to speak.
Oh,
he got his time to speak. This is Free Talk Live. We'll let you explain blowback because it gets explained every time he calls in.
I know.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
If you had one day to teach someone economics, what would you say? We would say that innovation and prosperity requires economic freedom. Visit fee.org/courses and check out Economics in One Day, a crash course in free market economics that you can present to your community. For over 70 years, the Foundation for Economic Education has been a champion of liberty. Start today at no charge by visiting fee.org/courses and learn why economic freedom matters.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Chris.
And in the last segment, we had a caller that called in about blowback, as he does quite frequently, and we explained blowback quite frequently, and Chris, you were about to explain blowback again.
Yeah, and this is James from Arizona, and sorry, Daryl, cut you off. I wanted to carry you through the break, but James and I, it seems like we can have a conversation. It may take place over several phone calls, So I'm going to throw out what I think of when I think of Blowback James, and I'll be on, I believe, Saturday the 21st. Will be the next time I'm on. So if you want to give me a call back, and you can offer your two cents. When I think of Blowback, and what I refer to is when the United States decides that it wants to affect change on another country. And oftentimes that is against a democratically elected government. We will choose that we don't like that one. We want to put our folks in there, and we do. And what sometimes happens is people don't forget that, and they will use that years and years later. A good standard example is the 1953 actions against the democratically elected Iranian government, and us putting in the Shah of Iran, who was enormously unpopular and cruel. That led to the Ayatollah Khomeini and the rise of a different brand of Islam in Iran, which we're still dealing with today. So I don't make any excuses at all for Islamic terrorism at all. I call it what it is. It's the needless and senseless taking of lives because of a reason that in the name of religion, which I don't buy. I believe that we should all be peaceful people, and we should respect human life. So that's kind of where I'm at, James. Like I said, Saturday the 21st, 7 p.m., I'll be back on the air.
Right, and just to point something out, there are a lot of Muslims that will speak out against those that commit acts of terrorism, but it seems as though every time somebody does speak out, there's somebody saying, there's nobody speaking out against this.
Yeah, and sometimes what we hear is what the media actually reports. So if people are speaking out against Islamic terrorism and they happen to be Muslim, we may not always hear them. Sometimes you have to go seek them out.
Right.
Which is too bad, because I hate to be the cynic, but sometimes just this lack of anybody speaking up out against Islamic radicalism from the Islamic religion sort of fits into our narrative of where we want to take the story. That is part of it. So there may be some censorship there by governments too.
Right. And, you know, you had mentioned the U.S. involvement in Iran back in the 1950s. Let's not forget the 26,000 bombs that were dropped by the U.S. military on various countries last year, and we're not in a war.
Yeah,
we're
not, not in a single declared war, not any war declared by Congress, and we just keep creating more enemies for ourselves, and that's the part that drives me nuts. Every time a civilian is killed by American action overseas, whether you feel it's right or wrong, when some seven-year-old kid loses his mom or his sister or his father, who were innocents in that example, call it collateral damage, but don't think that that person now isn't ripe for radicalization.
Right.
Cannot end up being a future bomber, and then you're going to say, well, how does this happen? It's not just that to say that, you know, Islam is not a religion of peace. You can't say that, because Islam is made up of millions and millions and millions of Muslims.
I think 1.6 billion people.
Right. So you can't just say what they all feel. You can talk about the writing and do all that, and there may be people that believe it one way or believe it another. But if we're out there radicalizing through our foreign policy, it's not a good path for us to be on, and we've been on it for way, way too long.
Now, let's get back to the article from the LA Times about what we began talking about, and that is Backpage. First, Kamala Harris brought new charges, and then the CEOs wound up shutting down the adult section, specifically the adult jobs section of Backpage.com. Again, the abrupt closure came on the eve of the scheduled testimony of the founders and CEO before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Investigations. The Senate panel issued the report after an acrimonious investigation. Backpage balked at a subpoena to turn over company materials to investigators, but the panel secured a federal court order to force compliance. The Senate committee's review of the company's documents, totaling more than 1.1 million pages, found evidence that Backpage knowingly facilitated prostitution and child sex trafficking. The business was highly profitable and experienced explosive growth from $5.3 million in gross revenue in 2008 to $135 million in 2014. To keep problematic ads online, the company edited them. That, according to reports, one moderator said he removed material that was obviously indicative of prostitution, but the post remained published. According to the report, the moderator testified under oath, quote, "My responsibility was to make the ads okay to run live on the site because having to get rid of the ad altogether was bad for business. It was common knowledge." The report said it was common knowledge at the company that ads in the adult section were for prostitution, adding that a coworker used the site to procure prostitutes. Senators Rob Portman of Ohio and Claire McCaskill of Missouri led the bipartisan Senate investigation into the website and said Backpage moves to shutter its adult ads attested to the damning evidence their team uncovered. Now, if you go to the adult encounters section.
Yeah, well, I'm there.
You're there.
Now, don't get the wrong ideas, folks. I was actually just doing a little research for this story. But under adult, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 categories listed in the New Hampshire version. So the first one is escorts. Okay, so that probably is kind of prostitution-like in the eyes of the government.
Yes.
Would you agree? Yes. Body rubs. Okay. Body rubs could
be massage.
Could be massage. Could be more than a massage.
Right.
Okay.
And it could just be, you know, like topless massage. So just
right.
a regular body rub down,
right.
but the woman or man giving you the massage is not fully clothed.
Right. Not what you're going to get at the mall. How about this one? Strippers and strip clubs. Is there any law in New Hampshire against strip clubs? Or I know there's regulations that say lots of states have regulations about whether you can serve alcohol if they're fully nude. Or
correct.
Some states are, you know, women can only strip down to the pasties
right.
and things
and
like that.
Pennsylvania has this weird thing to where if the dancers get completely naked, you can't sell alcohol, but people can bring their own beer to the club.
Right.
So yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. And I've seen variations of this all over the country. I mean, I've read about variations of this all over the country. So yeah, strippers and strip clubs, that seems like a state by state sort of thing. And I'm not sure why that category would be censored. Dom and fetish. Okay. Dom and fetish, is that, can it only be people offering to provide services for sale? Again, this is not
that
adult
just
jobs.
Be,
this just says adult.
Adult entertainment. Dom and fetish. It could be a specialty dating section.
It could be.
It could be, here's a specialty service that somebody is offering. But there's not necessarily anything that indicates from that title
right.
that money is changing hands.
Exactly. TS. Transsexual. Okay. That seems to be most of what we seem to be regulating these days seems to be to make sure that transgendered folks have more rights. Yet just a category of TS, strike it, censored.
And what it says, censored. The government has unconstitutionally censored this content. Protect internet free speech. Visit Center for Democracy and Technology. This is Free Talk Live. We've got more. 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Chris.
And Chris is over there perusing the back page to see what sorts of interesting ads he can find that are not in the adult entertainment section. Because the adult entertainment section was shut down.
It's all censored. So, you know, you can just go to, I'm just looking in the regular services. So, for example, here's a beautiful Korean girl, high class, reliable, and professional. providing a non-rushed and erotic massage for VIP gentlemen.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's sort of shows the pointlessness in this stuff, too. I mean, it's because it's under the heading adult, that means it can't be shown, but if it's under just regular services, then that's fine. I'm sure it doesn't take people who are interested in advertising long to figure that one out.
Right, and this entire thing, the reason we're even discussing Backpage or Chris is looking on Backpage is because we started the show discussing the new information about Backpage, where a couple weeks ago, California Attorney General Kamala Harris brought new pimping and money laundering charges. And then just a couple of days ago, Backpage decided to shut down the adult entertainment section. And Chris is waving an attractive Asian woman in front of one of the webcams that you can find at cam.freetalklive.com, and also distracting me from telling you about where some of the hosts of this show will be at the end of February. Not Chris or I will be here, but Ian and Mark will be in Anarchapulco, along with Jeffrey Tucker, Larkin Rose, Adam Kokesh, Jeff Berwick, Roger Veer, Lynn Ulbricht, and a bunch of other people. Anarchapulco is the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists, held annually in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico. They bring together hundreds of principled anarchists who share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state and central banks. Their unparalleled lineup of speakers will discuss entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyle, and personal relationships for 4 days among the sun and beaches of a world-class resort. You don't want to miss it. February 25th through the 28th at Mundo Imperial Resort and Expo. Anarchapulco.com for tickets. Let's go to the phones. We've got Tony calling in from Canada. Tony, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi, guys. You were previously talking about radical Islam a little bit. And I was just calling to say that I'm concerned about regular Islam at the moment. These no-go zones for homosexuals and women, unaccompanied women, are popping up all over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you getting this information?
Because I've not seen anything about this.
I saw a video that was posted on the AMP forum on Facebook.
Okay.
About French women being harassed in Paris for talking to reporters, for trying to go in a bar, for trying to do things, regular things that women should be able to do. I don't know. They seem very silent about this whole situation, the Muslims do. And the way they treat homosexuals too. You know, throwing right. them from rooftops and hanging them from cranes. I mean, this whole thing, you know, I understand.
Right. So the problem here, hold on, Tony. The problem here is that you have people that are bad people. In Uganda, you've probably heard about what's happened in Uganda. That's not an Islamic country. The leader of Uganda actually claims to be a Christian. So you have bad people from every religion.
Yes, but how come it's only the Muslim areas in Europe that are having this phenomenon happen? All over Europe, the same phenomenon. In Germany, in France, in the UK, and you have migrations from countries like Vietnam, from many other countries in
Europe, Philippines,
and it's only the Muslims that have this problem.
Well,
you know,
yeah, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you that there has been. If you were to look at all the world's religions, I think it would be safe to say that the highest rise in radical violent behavior is occurring within Islam. I don't know how anybody could make the argument that it's it's no really, it's the Christians or the Quakers or the Jews that are really becoming radicalized right now. I agree with you on that.
Well, and a lot of the reports are, you know, things where somebody will claim, oh, it was refugees, and then a week later, you know, what doesn't get the media attention is it actually wasn't the refugees.
Right.
So I'm not one of those people that tends to jump on, oh, well, I saw a report the day that it happened that said blah, blah, blah. I'm going to, you know, okay, wait a little bit until some of the facts actually wind up being found out.
Yeah, and go ahead.
That makes total sense. The problem, what I see a lot in sometimes in the libertarian movement, is that when it's a good thing, then they say, oh, you know, Muslims are great, they're friendly, and so on. And they are. They're very, very hospitable. But then when it's something negative, then they say, oh, no, that's not Islam. It's just cultural. So there's that double standard where positive things will be imputed to Islam and then negative things will be imputed to culture. In the meantime, you know, Sharia courts, you know, will take the woman's testimony at 50% value of the man's testimony. And things like that are just unacceptable.
Well,
you know?
All of that's unacceptable to me, too, and I would not live in that sort of a society.
And luckily for you, Chris, because you're not a Muslim, you will never have to live under Sharia, because Sharia is something that only applies to Muslims.
Right, and if
just
that,
like you're not, because you're not Jewish, you don't have to abide by Levitical law, because it's something that only applies to Jews.
And I love bacon. But I think what the point is that
Tony, we're getting some phone static from you. I'm going to have to let you go, but yeah, thank you for the call.
No, I think the point is I just can't tell how much, because you're right. A lot of this, the Muslims have taken over whole countries at a time. A lot of it doesn't stand up to the sniff test.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit back, because that's coming from the mainstream media, and say that, well, that means that it's not going on at all. I just don't know. I do know that I truly believe that there is a lot of radicalization, and it's a complex issue. It's not just as simple as saying Islam is a religion of hate. That's too simple, because I've known too many Muslims in my life.
Right. I have never met a Muslim that wanted to kill me, but I've met a lot of people that used to be in the military that said that they loved killing people. That's not a condemnation of everybody that was in the military.
Right.
Or that's just, you know, my anecdotal experience.
Yeah.
Of I have met people, and I actually used to work with a guy that when the whole Libya invasion thing happened back in 2011, he said, I hope I get a call so I can re-enlist, because, quote-unquote, killing people is fun. And that's just absolutely sick and disturbing to me. Let's go to Skype. We've got Alex calling in. Alex, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thought.
Fantastic to be on. I think that it is more complex than just Islam, because I think that there's a component of intelligence and gene pacification that's happened in European countries and Asian countries, and I'd use the evidence of the Asian crime rate being...
What is gene pacification?
Yeah, I was hoping you knew.
So basically, in Asia and in largely in Europe, we killed our underclasses, our criminal classes, off generation after generation to such a degree that overall crime was reduced. Basically, it's similar to domestication. You're killing off your antisocial and criminal classes, and the evidence for that, and my evidence is the fact that Asians have a higher IQ and a lower crime rate.
So you support killing people that don't fit your specific desired genetic makeup?
I don't think that's where he's
going. I'm going to hold you over, because I'm really curious, because, you know, people that say stuff like that, they might not say outright, yes, I support killing people, but they talk like they support killing people. This is Free Talk Live, Hour 2, coming up next.
Tired of the NSA spying on you? We've got the tools. Want to stop using your social security number? That's easy. Interested in learning more about Bitcoin and alternative currencies? Our experts are standing by. Hi, I'm Nick Reed, founder of Frontier Liberty, a first-of-its-kind liberty consulting service. At FrontierLiberty.com, you'll find tools and resources for virtually every situation. If you can't find a solution, schedule a consultation and we'll develop a plan that's right for you. Visit FrontierLiberty.com today or call 512-865-4808.
Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, kicking off hour number two in studio. It's Daryl
and Chris,
and we started off the show discussing the Backpage situation, and there's more news with that. Also, something interesting from Amnesty International. And one city learns how taxes work. Chris has that story that hopefully we are able to get to. Going back to Skype, where we had Alex, who called in at the end of last hour, was talking about, what was the term he used?
A genetic or gene pacification.
Yeah, was discussing gene pacification in Asia and said that, and I'm going to paraphrase, and Alex, correct me if I misinterpret what you said, but you said that the Asians were basically domesticated because they killed off certain people.
Yes, the Asians and to a lesser extent Europeans were domesticated because they killed off those who would basically aggress, those violent criminals.
But you're not advocating killing people that don't fit into society the way you think they should.
Or are you?
I would say antisocial crimes, violent antisocial crimes.
Okay. So define
that only works if you have an in-group, because you're basically building up a genetic capital. And the reason why I would advocate that is because if you can reduce predation within a group, so if within a country, I mean, the group can be arbitrary, but if you basically reduce predation, then you lower transaction costs and you have higher in-group trust, which basically will help your society propel itself.
Okay.
Especially if you have a free market.
Yeah. No, I get
but
that.
But you can't have a free market when you're killing people off because they do things you don't like.
Yeah. Here's where I would have to challenge it. And first of all, our society does kill off certain people, whether we agree with the death penalty or not, or those people are either locked in prison, usually for the rest of their lives, or they end up being executed.
And
in
a lot of
states.
People that are in prison for extremely long sentences only possessed a plant in opposition to, you know, various state or federal laws.
Absolutely true. But what I guess my question is who decides what is antisocial behavior, what is unacceptable behavior? Because we can look, you know, I hate to do a God one here and pull up Hitler, but
That's fine. It's been brought up each of the last several nights. We've had people call in and basically say that the Holocaust was a good thing.
Okay, well, somebody has to decide what is the correct behavior and what is the best behavior, and that could either be mob rule in a democracy. It could be a set of experts and central planners in a socialist environment. It could be a representative government that decides what this is. It doesn't really matter, but somebody is saying these are behaviors that I don't approve of, therefore they have to be eliminated from our gene pool.
Yeah, and you would set up a strict criteria of those. Those are ones that basically...
Please don't say you would, because you're talking to me. Someone would. Not a job,
yeah,
I
someone
want.
Would. Yeah, okay. Well, basically, I wasn't including you in the group, but...
I know.
But basically, they're actions that can be proven proven genetic propensities. So violent crimes within the in-group, the whole point of it would be to reduce transaction costs through genetic pacification. We have the technology, and we have the technology to, like I said, domesticate ourselves. It's been done in the past, and the effect is that you see lower crime rates among
Europeans. You're still not saying what crimes you think people should be executed for. So either answer the question or just say that you think that people that are less genetically pure than you should be eliminated from society.
He's going there. Go ahead.
Rape, murder, theft, fraud.
Theft.
So theft. I accidentally, I borrow $5 from you. I think I give it to you. I forget after a month. Well, I've committed theft because I never returned $5. I should be eliminated from your society by death.
5-year-old in a candy store.
Well, I mean, you're coming up with a extreme, right? Where
well,
I'm talking in
you're
general,
talking about extremes, principle. Alex. You're the one advocating that you kill people for theft.
But then here's and I'll go back to mine. 5-year-old in a candy store doesn't know that it's not okay just to take candy because that's what I do when I go to grandma. She has it in a bowl. They have it right here on the shelf. I guess I'll take one. So what? There's now we have to come up with an age where people are expected to know right from wrong and supposed to behave according to social norms because you brought up theft. And theft is taking something that does not belong to you.
You're the one that wanted me to set up the specific guideline.
Because you're the one advocating for eliminating people from society. Yeah. Alex, thank you and for the call.
And my point was there. It's easy to say, and maybe some people actually believe that. I just, human beings are fallible. We come up with stupid ideas all the time. And even if it's for the betterment of society,
Let's go to another Alex, this one in California. Alex, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thought.
Hello, is this me?
Yes,
it is.
You're on.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So I'm going to talk about, Syrian refugees. I'm kind of set up a different scenario. So let's say that we live in Europe, and we set up a society that is going towards a voluntary society. And meantime, we still have a limited government, but this limited government has open borders. Now you have a problem where, your government is basically allowing people to come in that do not, share the ideas of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question. What would you guys do now?
Well, I think there's a couple contradictions there. So we talk about voluntary society, and you say your government. Those things can't really work well together. And that
Wait. That's not what I said. I said
no. That's exactly what you said.
I said you're going towards a voluntary society.
Okay.
But meantime, you have a government. You're transitioning. Like obviously, you're not going to have. Oh, we're just going to end the government tomorrow. That's not going to really happen, right?
You're right. Yes. Agree. Okay. So this is. You're bringing up a really good argument that I've kind of had with myself. How do I support open borders yet realize that if we have a huge influx of immigrants, then we are likely going to end up paying for a large portion of those, and it's going to be tax dollars that are
going
to pay for it.
Only if there's a welfare. So he's suggesting that there's going to be a voluntary society. A voluntary society would not have a coercive welfare state.
Well, let's just use the United States as an example. If we bring in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of new immigrants, then yes, a lot of them are going to end up on our welfare system.
Right, and there are people born every day in this country that also end up on the welfare system.
Exactly. Yet, the way our government is set up is everyone shares in the cost of those. So, basically, I can understand the argument that it is a form of aggression by allowing wide-open immigration.
Well, no, the welfare state is a form of aggression.
Exactly.
So the people that argue against immigration because welfare are either secretly xenophobes or they just want to say that only certain people should not get welfare.
What I'm saying is that given the current situation, that it will undoubtedly increase our costs if we dramatically increase the number of immigrants that come into our country. That doesn't mean I'm against it. It just, it is what it is. Now, let's go to your hypothetical. So we have this society that is trending towards voluntarism. It's going in the right direction, but we still have a little bit of government left, and they want to open up the borders and allow any and all to enter. Can we finish this up after?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Hold on, Alex. We'll continue this thought experiment and try to explain why open borders is actually the libertarian position here on Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome, 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll get back to the phones here in just a second, but I want to make sure that I tell you about where a lot of our wardrobe is coming from, or at least some of our wardrobe, because a lot of our wardrobe is liberty-oriented t-shirts. Now, neither me nor Chris are wearing a liberty-oriented t-shirt tonight, but generally we are.
Somebody is.
And, you know, they're comfortable. They're easy to manage. You can spread your ideas by doing something that you're going to do anyway, and that's put on a t-shirt. We have a lot of experience in this area that's wearing t-shirts and spreading our ideas. And some of our newest shirts that say, I'm already against the next war and power corrupts, come from Rye Guys. The Rye Guys at Rye Guys, spelled WRYGUYS, ryguys.com. They're so deeply committed to the ideas of liberty that they're donating a portion of the proceeds to antiwar.com and the Future of Freedom Foundation. You can spread the ideas of liberty by wearing cool, high-quality tees from Rye Guys. Take 15% off at checkout with coupon code FTL, as in Free Talk Live, WRYRYGUYS.com. Back to the phones, we've got Alex calling in from California discussing a hypothetical, and I generally hate hypotheticals because I find them, you know, less than useless, or more useless than something that is absolutely useless, because you could sit around and, you know, come up with thought experiments all day, and all you're doing is thinking. You're not actually working towards a more free society. But the question was, assume you live in a society with a government, but you're trying to get a voluntary government, and this government that exists has welfare, and they decide to open up the borders. Is that basically your hypothetical here, Alex?
Well, I mean, not, I didn't say anything about welfare, but, you know, obviously if you're going towards a free society, you wouldn't have any welfare, correct?
Right. I mean, so if there's not welfare, then why even mention, oh, there might be people that move here? Because if you believe in a free society, then that means you believe in freedom of human movement. So people moving across imaginary lines would not be an issue.
I think I brought up welfare.
Well, yeah. Somebody brought up welfare as an objection to freedom of human movement.
That would have been me. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So the problem with open borders is where those people are coming from. You are trying to achieve a goal with this hypothetical society, right? You're trying to achieve, you know, to, you know, more of a, I guess you could say, you know, voluntary society. So if you have people moving in that do not hold the same values, what are you going to do?
Well, Alex, here's a little secret. People that want a voluntary society are in the minority, and there's not a lot of people that actually agree with the objectives of voluntary society. So I realize, and I live in reality land, to where I realize that there's a lot of people that don't agree with me. But what I've done is I've actually moved to where a lot of libertarians are getting together, and they are trying to work towards this freer society. And one of the things that you have to realize is that if you believe in human freedom, that means that you believe in freedom for people that live on the other side of imaginary lines just as much as you agree that people inside your imaginary lines have freedom. Thank you for the call. Chris, did you have anything else to add to this?
No, I think it's a complex. I guess I understand the non-libertarian point of view on this. It doesn't mean I agree with it wholeheartedly.
Oh, I understand it. Yeah. I don't think it's a good argument.
It takes a change in, it takes a lot of changes before we ever get to that point.
Right, and basically the anti-freedom argument is that people on other sides of imaginary lines have fewer rights than I do.
Yeah, and it's not always just about where, you know, the fact that they're crossing the line. There are a lot of people, even the ones that are very hardcore, you know, we got to keep the Mexicans out and all that stuff. Their angst is directed in a couple specific areas. It's against, oftentimes against Mexicans and oftentimes against Muslims.
It's people that are different.
Not necessarily. Like if you went to those same people and said, you know what? Turns out Scandinavia really has way too many supermodels, and those supermodels need some place to go. You might get a very different answer.
Okay, well, it's people that are different in ways, a manner that they don't agree with. Because 100 years ago, the fear was that Italians and Irish would move into the United States and change American culture. And prior to that, you know, there was the Chinese Exclusion Acts passed in the 1870s. And, you know, it's always somebody else that's different and is going to change the way our society works.
And I think it's important to remind ourselves that every one of those groups has contributed something significant to our country.
Yes.
And we are a nation of immigrants. I mean, my ancestors were not they were not Native Americans. You know,
right.
We came from Switzerland and France.
I would suggest to anyone who is anti-immigrant or the whole they ought to follow the law type people in regards to immigration, travel to Ellis Island. It will totally change your thoughts on immigration because, you know, you'll learn the history of at one time all you had to do was show up. And then it was, all you have to do is come through one of our centers to where you tell us your name and we give you your Starbucks name. I call it the Starbucks name because, you know, they butcher it very badly.
Yes.
And then you're on your way. And then it was, you show up, tell us your name. We hold you for 3 days to make sure that you don't have, you know, typhoid fever or, you know, some other disease that's going to kill all of humanity. And then you go, and then it was, you come here, we hold you for 3 days, you give us a bunch of money, and then you're on your way. And then it was, you show up, you give us a bunch of money, and as long as when we look through our system, there's not been more than a certain number of people from your country show up, then you get to stay.
Right.
To all of these weird hoops and hurdles that we have today, to where in some cases there's what they call the immigration lottery, to where people pay, you know, for them, large amounts of money. To you, it might not be that much. A couple hundred bucks might not be a lot, but to somebody in Kenya, that's a lot of money you pay to be entered into a lottery in hopes that you wind up getting drawn for the rights to go have an interview with an immigration official before he decides whether or not you wind up getting to come to the United States, if you're then allowed to raise the money to cover the cost of your trip.
I find it interesting that a lot of the people that I've talked to who are anti-immigration are also very much anti-driver's licenses. I shouldn't have to have a driver's license. I should be free to travel.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, freedom for me, but not for thee, is what a lot of people think. But not us. We like freedom for all. This is Free Talk Live.
We just got our new Rye Guys t-shirts. I chose the Power Corrupts shirt and the I'm Already Against the Next War shirt. These quality shirts look good and feel good, and they feature clever, thought-provoking designs to promote freedom, peace, and healthy skepticism of modern mythologies. The Rye Guys donate a portion of proceeds to antiwar.com and the Future of Freedom Foundation. Enter coupon code FTL at checkout to get 15% off your order. That's ryguys.com, W-R-Y-guys.com, ryguys.com. It's a Rye wit for today's shit.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Chris.
And, you know, there are a lot of cities that have instituted these sugary beverage taxes. And some of them are written in such a way as to where, well, none of them are good, but some of them are a lot worse than others.
Yeah. Just the idea that we would throw a tax on what, you know, what is one person's poison, maybe another man's food or something that they do for enjoyment. You know, the idea is that we can regulate health through taxation. It just sort of gives me an ice cream headache. But this article comes to us from The Blaze. The title is Philly Mayor Accuses Businesses of Price Gouging After Implementing New Soda Tax. Democratic Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney worked hard to see a sweetened beverage tax implemented in his city, but now that it's been applied, he's calling out businesses for charging higher prices for their sodas.
Right, because it's being taxed. When things are taxed, you have to increase the cost.
If you want to realize the same profit or close to it off of your product, you have to cover your costs. That's business 101. You have to cover all the costs, and you have to make enough money to make your business worthwhile for you to take home money as the business owner.
Right.
Rather than allowing for the possibility that the increase in price may be related to the 1.5 cents per ounce tax, Kenny instead said beverage companies are, quote, gouging customers in an effort to frustrate consumers about the tax.
All right, so 1.5 cents per ounce.
Per ounce.
If you're buying a 20-ounce bottle of soda,
yep,
you're paying an extra 30 cents.
Yep, goes up.
So that means the cost of your 20-ounce beverage is going to go up by 30 cents. At minimum.
And there's some things about this story. It's going to make it a little different.
A little different than just being that simple. If you're buying a 2-liter beverage, then you know your price is going to go up however many ounces are in a liter.
Damn it. I wanted to see Daryl calculate ounces to liters
now,
in his head.
I do know that a 750-milliliter bottle of wine has 24 ounces. So whatever, you know, 24 divided by 0.75, because that's how you multiply things, is somewhere near 30?
Yeah, those of you at home with a calculator can do the math. But we'll get into it. We'll make it real easy for the listener here.
So anyway, you know, a 2-liter is going to increase cost by 50 cents or so.
All right.
Or no, close to a dollar, because... Yeah. 1 liter would be about 50 cents, and then double that for 2 liters.
Daryl, you're in the weeds here. You're not focusing on what we need to focus on. So we're going to get there. Trust me.
I'm focusing on the numbers and how much the cost of things are going up, because that's what the mayor is griping about, the cost of items going up.
Right. But it's where these taxes are applied that makes this, I think, more interesting. So according to the mayor, quote, this is what they do. They spend $10.5 million in an advertising campaign to beat the tax. They lost, unquote, he said earlier this week, according to CBS Philadelphia. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees and they lost. And they'll continue to lose because their legal case is not sound and their public case is not sound, unquote. As Reason Magazine points out, the spike in soda cost is not necessarily just an effort to anger buyers. The tax is implemented at the wholesale level, which means that without an increase in price, the companies would have to swallow the cost. To understand Kennedy's reasoning, you have to know that the new tax technically is applied at the wholesale level. That is, the city is charging a tax on the transaction that takes place when a business, like a sandwich shop or grocery store, purchases soda or the syrup used to make soda in a fountain from a distributor. In the mayor's mind, it seems, distributors and retailers are supposed to eat the cost of the tax and continue selling their products at the same price as before the tax went into effect.
And it's not just soda. It's all sugary beverages.
Sure.
So sports drinks, your Frappy Mocha Latte Chino. Now, if you order black coffee and you put the sugar in yourself, that not taxed.
No problem.
Because it doesn't come with the sugar in the beverage.
Right. And if
your energy drinks, they're taxed. And there's still a question over, or rather about, whether or not a beverage distributor outside of Philadelphia that sells a product to a retailer inside Philadelphia gets hit with the tax.
Right.
And what about a beverage distributor in Philly that sells the beverage to a retailer outside of Philly?
As with many government programs, this one is a big, huge mess. Kennedy's biggest problem with the company seems to be the fact that many have posted signs informing consumers as to why the cost has increased. So as a business owner, I can tell you, I sell bottles of water in my store. I sell sodas in my store. If a bottle of water, if the cost goes up by 10 cents, I'm increasing the cost on a bottle of water. It doesn't matter whether that increase came from taxation or whether my suppliers suddenly found that plastic bottles are more expensive to produce now.
Right. And let's say that the company you buy your bottled water from says, hey, we're increasing the cost on all future shipments by a penny per ounce.
Sure.
Penny an ounce, across the board increase. Would you put up a sign that says, hey, just to inform you, the price of water has gone up by 20 cents because my distributor has increased the price?
If I felt that my customers were truly concerned, then I would. I would explain that to them, or I might explain it to them in conversation. I might explain why my bottled water costs are now higher than they were before, if I think they would have noticed.
Right. So what's happening here in Philadelphia? You've got businesses that are saying, hey, just so everybody knows, here's the reason we increase the cost on these beverages.
Right. And if a business's cost increased by 10 cents on a bottle of soda because of taxation, and the retailer increases his cost by 10 cents and just makes as much as he did before, there's no price gouging going on. Gouging is a very specific
thing.
He's covering
the tax.
He's covering his costs. Whether those costs are government-related or private sector-related, he's covering his costs and he's protecting his profits. Nothing wrong with that. Quote, in his remarks about the issue, he called it wrong and misleading.
How is it misleading to inform people that the tax on an item went up, so therefore the end cost is going up? That's not misleading.
Well, it gets better. Regardless of how companies choose to deal with the increase, it's important to note that the tax is not a small increase. In fact,
1.5 cents per ounce.
In fact, Newsworks reporter Katie Culinary recently visited Andy Pincus, owner of Carbonator Rental Services in Philadelphia, to see just how much the tax costs beverage distributors. Quote, just 1 5-gallon box of syrup makes about 3,840 ounces of soda or 192 20-ounce cups. Depending on whether it's his own label or a national brand like Coca-Cola, Pincus charges anywhere from $60 to $90 per box.
All right,
remember that number, guys. $60 to $90 per box.
Not bad. So let's give an example here. Chris, you decide you're going to open up a soda fountain inside your store.
Sure.
You buy a couple of these 5-gallon boxes for $90. It makes you 192 20-ounce sodas.
Yeah.
You can, you know,
sell them for $1 a piece. I'm making money.
You're making a decent amount of money.
Yep.
And, well, now the tax has increased, and we'll tell you by how much, and let you decide what you would do, and then we'll tell you what the business owners are actually doing. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about what happens when you wind up increasing a tax significantly. We'll get back into that story here in just a second. But have you ever wanted to start your own blog or website, but you've not actually been able to put your idea into action? Well, you're in luck. HostGator, one of the top hosting companies out there, is offering a special deal to Free Talk Live listeners. Go to HostGator.com/FTL, as in Free Talk Live, and you can get up to 50% off their regular prices. Hosting your own website or blog can be intimidating, but HostGator makes it easy. HostGator offers a simple one-click, easy installation for WordPress. They also have 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support, and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into the hands of you, the customer. HostGator has a 99.99% uptime rating, so you don't have to worry about outages. To get the special offer of up to 50% off for Free Talk Live listeners, visit HostGator.com/FTL.
So we'll get back into this story, and again, this comes to us from The Blaze. The title is, Philly Mayor Accuses Businesses of Price Gouging After Implementing a New Soda Tax. And we were hearing the story of a gentleman named Andy Pincus, who owns Carbonator Rental Services in Philadelphia. It sounds like he sells syrups and things like that for soda fountains, or, you know, for premix and postmix.
Yeah, he says that 1 5-gallon box of syrup makes about 192 20-ounce sodas.
Yep.
And those retail for between $60 to $90 per box.
Not retail, they wholesale.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wholesale.
Yeah. So what he's doing is, he's a guy who works with different companies. He has to buy the syrups, and then he warehouses them, I assume, and then he sells them to your mom-and-pop stores, or he sells them to McDonald's or whoever he sells them to. And the story continues. He charges anywhere from $60 to $90 a box. But now, every time he sells one to a customer in Philadelphia, Pincus owes the city $57.60 in taxes. So again,
hold on. So on $57.60 minus $60, he makes a nice $2.40 profit. He should be lucky that the city lets him keep that much of his money.
As he says, we're not talking about a couple bucks on a $60 item, he said. We're talking about $57.60 on a $60 item. It's too big not to pass on. And he's right. Pincus explains it this way. For every 5-gallon box of syrup he sells for $60, he says that he makes between $3 and $18 in gross profit. That's
right,
the price he sells it minus the cost he pays the manufacturer.
So $3 minus $60 is $57 is his cost for getting one of these. He then owes the city $57.60, so he loses 60 cents on a $60 item. Yeah,
yeah.
Obviously, that's
right.
The way you stay in business is to lose money on every transaction you make.
Right, and because this tax has been applied at the wholesale level, and because it's based on per ounce cost, $57.60 on a $60 item. That's like, folks, if you went out and you bought a candy bar for $2, and it turns out that the tax on it is $1.90.
Right.
Yeah. It's that kind of insanity. So in addition to potentially selling less sodas, distributors are also being hurt by the new law, according to Pincus. They started yelling at my drivers if they have something to do with it, as if they had something to do with Pincus says of his customers. Customers are telling him, this isn't right, this can't be right, as if we're making the mistake. Nevertheless, Kenny believes the issue is being overstated.
Kenny being the mayor of Philadelphia, yes, who asked for this tax, but is now upset that people are having to pay higher cost on sodas, which is what he wanted in the first place.
Right. He wants to change their behavior.
He wanted fewer people to drink sugary sodas, so he increased the cost on them, and now he's upset that people are paying more at the retail level on sugary beverages.
Right. So government does this all the time. They try to change behaviors that they don't agree with. And those of us of a more libertarian bent, we just say that, you know, if you're not hurting anybody else, you take care of it. You do what you want. It should be a free market. People should be free to charge what they want. And you shouldn't need Philadelphia. I know the city too well. It's in such shambles. And if you need to implement things like soda taxes to make the books balance, you're really way, way, way down the path to be in a Harrisburg.
And somebody needs to go tell Mr. Kenny that taxation is still theft.
It is.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Mike calling in from West Virginia. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Good evening, guys. First of all, on this tax thing, only in the land of politics does this make any sense. Soda is bad for you, therefore government gets paid. Yeah. That solves everything right there.
You got it.
Working is bad for you, Mike, therefore the government gets paid.
That's right. I don't know why no one else understands this concept. What I wanted to talk about is the Amish. You guys on your yesterday show, you brought up how the Amish have opted out of the system. And it made me think a little bit. Do the Amish not hold title to land? Do they not pay taxes? And are they not required to get government ID? Because if that's the case, how do we sign up?
There are a lot of taxes that the Amish are able to avoid for, you know, religious purposes. I don't know all of the details.
Yeah,
it was Jay,
either.
Our Wednesday night co-host. He actually does some business with some of the Amish people. So he would know more about that. Chris, you did live in Pennsylvania for a while, but I don't think you were close to the Amish.
No, I did business with a lot of Mennonites, but that's a whole different ballywick. I don't know. I kind of encourage anybody, if you can get a break from taxes, to take it.
Right, and I do know that there are...
I do know that there are
exemptions in the IRS code for old order Amish. But again, I don't know how you wind up going about those. But chances are, if you are listening to the radio and calling nationally syndicated talk radio shows while calling yourself Amish, people are going to say, yeah, you're not one.
Well, that's probably true. But, you know, opting out of the system is all I ever wanted. So right. Whatever the rules are that allow the Amish to do that, I want to start my own little sect and opt out. That would, you know, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Hey, I'd encourage that. And I just think if you're going to give exemptions to one group of people, then it should be equal for all groups of people. If that's how you want to play, that's fine. But that's not the level playing field that our government has laid out. It's not level. It's not even playing. It's just evil.
It's chess to where they've got kings and queens and rooks, and we're not even pawns. We're checker pieces on the chessboard. So, like, we're playing two completely different games here. Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go to Sarah calling in from Nuevo Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, thank you for the report on the sugar tax. That was kind of interesting.
We knew you'd like that.
Today, well, yeah, you know, I always talked about that. But today I wanted to tell you that there is a very simple cure for cancer, and it's called the calcium factor. So if you, you know,
it's called a what?
The calcium factor. Calcium.
Yeah, calcium factor. Yeah, if you take 1,500
milligrams of calcium per day or more. Calcium is actually an alkaline. So in an alkaline environment, the acid is driven out of the body. And if there's no acid in the body, the cancer cells cannot grow.
Well, if there's no acid in your body, then your food will not digest. Your body, Sarah, the way the human body works, and I know what you're talking about, to where, you know, if you eat things that are alkaline instead of acidic, then your body doesn't have to work as hard to digest those things and stay healthy. But if you completely remove acid from your body entirely, your food will not digest and you will
die. Can we hold
her
over? I have a question for her.
Sure. Will I put her on hold? Whether she stays on through the news is completely up to her.
All right.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Kicking off hour number three in studio, it's Daryl.
And Chris.
And we go back to chemistry with Sarah, who is calling in with a claim that calcium cures cancer because somehow it changes the pH level of the human body.
Right, right. In an alkaline environment, the acid is driven out. In an acid-free environment, the cancer cells cannot grow. It decreases. So it's a very simple medical fact. That, again, the medical industry want to keep it a secret because they want to make money off of you.
Well, I guess
if this knowledge, but they want to keep it out of the mainstream. They want to keep people ignorant. In other words, they don't want people to know this, or well, they will not be able to sell chemotherapy and make a you know, tons of money off you while you're dying.
Okay, well, on that, you and I are agreed. There's more money in keeping people sick than there is in actually curing their disease.
And
I don't disagree.
There's also a lot of money in convincing people that you're going to keep them healthy when all you're doing is, you know, eliminating money out of their checking account.
Well, if nothing else, you are promoting stronger bones and teeth. And I'll give calcium that it definitely does.
I thought fluoride was what promoted stronger bones and teeth.
But I guess my question is, and this is where, and first of all, Sarah, I'm sort of a supplements guy. I take supplements. I take a lot of different supplements. And I take calcium. I happen to take calcium in the form of Tums because it seems like I always have heartburn. But how do I change the acidity in my lungs? You know, and that's the question. I can see taking supplements affecting the GI tract, you know, the gut and things like that. But how am I changing the natural acidity of the human body in my brain or in my lungs or in my, you know, in my arm or anywhere on my body, even skin cancer? That's why I have a hard time believing claims like this. Please respond.
The thing about it is that, by the way, I just swallowed three capsules of the coral calcium. That's what I take. Maybe coral calcium from Okinawa, Japan will work better for you. And they have that better than Tums because I was told that actually in order to absorb calcium, it has to be absorbed in an acidic environment. And Tums is anti-acid. So it actually counteracts what you're trying to do. So if you, a lot of the powder calcium has a citric acid environment.
Right.
So Tums is a very bad way of consuming, absorbing calcium into your body.
Yeah, so
helps
so
my heartburn.
Let me give a brief chemistry lesson from WebMD, from Dr. Melinda Rattini, who apparently knows a few things. She says, you know, first let's explain what pH is. pH level determines whether something is acidic or alkaline. 0 is totally acidic. 14 is completely alkaline. You've probably heard, mm-hmm. you know, like pH balance. So pH of 7 is neutral.
Yep.
So it's neither alkaline nor acidic. The human body has a pH level of between 7.3 to 7.4, meaning that if you get outside of that range, your body doesn't work properly. The pH level inside your stomach is 3.5 or lower. That way it can digest food.
Very acidic.
And changing what you eat affects the color of and the smell of your urine, but it will not change between, you know, more than that, between 7.3 to 7.45, your pH level will not change outside of that. Otherwise, your body will work very, very hard to stay in that range.
Bring it back. That's an interesting theory, though.
So Tums, when you're, that's going to block the calcium absorption because your stomach is at the level of 3, which is very acidic, and you want to have you know, acidic environment. So stop taking Tums. But once,
what
like
about my
said,
heartburn?
So Sarah, well, how do you respond to the claim? Because you're saying that, you know, if you do these things, your body will become more alkaline, and therefore you don't get cancer. How do you respond that doctors are saying that your body is supposed to be between 7.35 and 7.45 on the pH scale, and you're trying to get outside of that range?
Well, we're naturally alkaline anyway.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you say 7, that's an alkaline.
7.35. 7.35 right. Is slightly alkaline, and you're saying that you think people should be more alkaline than that, but the human body, if you try to change your alkaline level, your body will work very hard to stay between 7.35 and 7.45.
But you know something? I'm getting this claim, you know, I do not have a master's degree, but I'm getting this teaching from Mr. Barefoot. He has a master's in biochemistry. And he has wrote a book,
uh-huh.
and they did a calcium factor, a study in the 1950s. They knew about this calcium factor since the 1950s.
And let me guess, Mr. Barefoot is trying to sell you a product.
At least
thank
books.
You for the call, Sarah. Let's go to Skype, where we've got Donald calling in. Donald, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yep. Go ahead with your thought.
Okay, so yesterday you guys were talking about the definition of the alt-right, and I didn't feel you really got it right at all, so I'm going to try to explain to you what exactly the alt-right is.
Okay,
and I don't
go
exact-
ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead. Give us the definition that you called to give us.
Yes. So the alt-right is fundamentally against the equalitarian position that's dominated pretty much every Western country for the last 100 years. We're against the notion that all people are created equal, that all groups of people are created equal, and that all groups of people necessarily have to be treated equal. We're not pro-war, like you said. We're not pro-violence necessarily. The alt-right is a big tent movement of people.
Well, what I said last night was that people in the alt-right are more likely to justify war, and justifying and supporting. So, you know, people that are pro-war, they go out and seek things.
Mm-hmm.
People that justify, they look, well, there's these bad people over here, and the world would be better if we just blew them up. So they'll come up with all of these humanitarian reasons for why blowing people up is okay.
Okay, please continue with your thought, Donald.
Well, that's not my experience with the alt-right at all. And I don't even necessarily consider myself part of the alt-right because the term is just too vague to be of any practical use.
So what do you use to define yourself?
I like the label neo-reactionary mostly. But let me say something about the war thing. So the alt-right takes a lot of inspiration from the 1990 paleo movements with the paleo libertarians like mm-hmm. Rothbard and the paleo conservatives like David Duke when they all teamed up and formed an alliance in the 1990s. We take a lot of inspiration from them in the alt-right. And they were as against war as you could be. And the alt-right has adopted most of those anti-war principles. I haven't even seen anyone in the alt-right cheerleading wars like Iraq or Afghanistan saying, oh, we got to kill Muslims or anything like that.
Even though we might not like other
ethnic groups, we don't root for their destruction. We just want to live separately from them. And that's the main thing.
And if it means throwing them out of helicopters or dropping bombs on them, you're cool with that?
Well, I mean, some in the movement might be. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, but
no, I said you. Yeah. Are you personally, Donald, are you supportive of throwing people out of helicopters and dropping bombs on them?
Well, once certain rules are established, then...
Thank you for the call. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. Wow. Just... wow. This is Free Talk. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Chris.
And how would you like to save up to 25% on things that you're going to buy from Amazon anyway? What if I told you there's a way you could do it? You might say, what's the catch? Well, you have to use Bitcoin. But that's okay because, you know, using Bitcoin is what allows Bitcoin to continue thriving, and it makes it more valuable as an alternative to fiat currencies. So what you do is go to saveatpurse.com, sign up, and then go to your Amazon account, add things to the Amazon wish list. Import the wish list into your purse account that, again, you create at saveatpurse.com. And then, you know, choose your discount. Send the Bitcoin. Somebody then buys the Bitcoin at a markup. You get the savings. You get the items. And then when they arrive, you go back to saveatpurse.com and you say, I have my items. And Purse releases the Bitcoin to the person that wound up making the purchase of the Bitcoin. And again, you get the product, you save 5, 10, 15, 20, 25%. You can save up to 33% at saveatpurse.com. Back to the phones. And Chris, I'm going to let you choose immigration or alt-right.
We've taken both. I'm going to flip a coin, call it heads or tails.
Tails.
I got heads.
So we go with Mike calling in from Ohio. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thought.
Thank you, Daryl. I just wanted to touch on kind of a couple of things. Number one, I actually have cancer. I have a blood cancer, leukemia. And,
sorry to hear that.
Well, I'm getting better now. And Sarah is incorrect. The acidity of your body, yes, it helps your immune system when you're more alkaline-based. And I have done everything from a ketogenic diet, which is where you basically take in no carbs a day. I do intermittent fasting every day, which is where you don't eat for like 16, 18 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually benefits to all of it. And more importantly, not more importantly, but also very importantly, I take a targeted chemotherapy, which has helped warp the cancer as well. So it's not just like the cancer. I agree that the whole medical industrial complex is a joke. It's government protected. It's crony capitalism. It's all those things wrapped in one, and therefore it's extremely high priced. That's not really market, resulting. But it takes every little bit of everything, and I eat like nobody else I know. And it's more the carbs, because carbs actually, the theory behind it is that glucose feeds cancer cells. Therefore, if you can starve the glucose, you can starve the cancer. Mm-hmm. That's probably true to an extent, but also there's also metabolic findings that cancer cells can actually take energy from healthy cells. They're not even conclusive on the whole glucose thing, but it is probably a good thing to avoid glucose as much as possible. That means not eating sugary foods and doing those things. Not because the government bans it or anything like that.
Or taxes it.
Because it's the common sense thing to do, and it's good for your health. And I think the future of defeating cancer, of doing all these things, is market oriented. If they would let it go, quit trying to control everything, and say, okay, we're going to let these people do the anti-aging, because we already see that babies' brains are bigger now than they were 80 years ago, because what's happening is people are actually getting the vitamins and minerals and doing those things to make healthier. Not all children, people who are born to, crack fiends and stuff, you can't make.
Right. You're talking about, in generalities and averages.
Right.
Sure.
Right. And so, but listen, I want to talk about this. I don't know if it's some folks, like, I didn't know Free Talk Live had a listening base that was like so anti, filled with racism. I think what it is. It's like anybody that's like had cancer or had a loved one have an issue or whatever, you realize that like life is so much more than like some little idealistic viewpoint, even if it is the libertarian or alt-right or whatever. It's about being a good person, being the best version of yourself. And the answer to the government should be like the easiest one. Like the answer to the government is it really shouldn't exist and we don't need it. And then from there you build the ecosystem of the rest of your life, which encompasses your mental health, your ability to offer value to others, and all this kind of other stuff. And it's like
just to answer one of your questions, where you said I didn't realize Free Talk Live had a listener base that fit the fill in the blank description. I don't know how many of them listen versus how many of them figured out, because we'll go through spurts to where we have certain
niches.
Groups of
we had
people.
Flat earthers there for a long time.
We had like a spate of flat earthers that would call in on a regular basis. I think people realize, here's a nationally syndicated radio program that I can call in on and get on the air very easily. I'm going to call and then let all of my friends on 4chan know, and then they'll wind up calling, and then they'll wind up getting bored with it after a couple of weeks.
Right.
And then it'll go from the alt-righters to something else, and I don't know what it's going to be. I really do miss the flat earthers.
I was thinking about that too.
Did not suggest eliminating people from society once we set the rules on who gets eliminated from society.
Exactly.
And with social media, it's so much easier to do just that. It's so much easier to get 30 people over here attacking this one person when in reality 25 of them don't even listen to the show.
And so on.
But I want to ask you this, because I agree fundamentally with you about immigration, and I want to know this, because I'm torn. I'm not really torn. I lean toward, I supported Daryl for president. So, I mean, I'm okay. Hans Hoppe and those guys, even Tom Woods was, because I looked his interview up on your show. He kind of supports like some sort of
it's based on the belief, and it's a very weird, unique, double think sort of position of, well, we all own that land, so therefore they're trespassing. Okay, well, if I'm a partial owner, can't I invite somebody onto that land? No, because it's not yours.
Or you can, but not forever.
No, they'll just say, I know. You're not allowed to invite somebody onto the vacant land in Arizona because we all own it, but you don't own it, so therefore you can't invite people onto that land.
We all have to decide.
Right, so it's this weird position of, and I don't want to call Tom Woods a statist libertarian, but you know, it's this statist libertarian position of, well, I believe in X, but because we have government, the government rules are what the government rules are. Mike, thanks for the call. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've been all over the map tonight. Started off talking about the new information, news, whatnot, involving Backpage, where you may recall about a month ago the charges were thrown out by a Sacramento judge. 2 weeks later, Kamala Harris, the Attorney General of California, brought new charges. And, well, that was news here because even though I knew about it, we haven't spoken about it since that happened. And then a couple days ago, Backpage shut down the adult entertainment section on their website. And then, well, then the calls started, and that took us all over the place, from blowback to crime and Islam and removing people from society. And then we returned to sanity to discuss a Philadelphia soda tax and the mayor saying that by the businesses increasing the wholesale cost to cover the tax.
Never mind.
That's price gouging.
Price gouging, because we tax you $57.60 on a $60 item. How dare you raise your prices?
To cover the tax. And then we've had several people call in about alt-right things. And can you change the acidity of your body? Well, no. No, you can. It fluctuates between 7.35 and 7.45. You go outside of that, and, well, you're not going to be healthy at all. So the claim is you need to have an alkaline environment. Well, if you go more alkaline than 7.45, your body's going to have problems. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Eric calling in from Florida. Eric, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I'm calling in. the last couple of days, had all these people calling in with the Paula hoax, and I don't know if you were around to hear that stuff. I know Ian was on.
I was not on Tuesday night, but we had a couple people make calls about it last night. And, I really don't know if any of these people listen to the show or if they just, you know, found a show that is easy to get on the air with. But go ahead with your thoughts.
That's my concern, and I'd like to make a couple points. First of all, Daryl, I appreciate what you're doing. I think the show is great. I think that we're going through this conflation right now with a lot of people thinking that they're libertarian or having libertarian leanings. Mm-hmm. But still, we've seen this, for a year or so, we've seen this Pinochet worship, the helicopter rides for leftists, you know, and kind of like this creeping alt-right thing. And it's really gross.
Right. Know? And I think a lot of that, you know, not necessarily the Pinochet worship, but the we need to remove certain people is because Hans Hermann Hoppe, who fancies himself some kind of anarcho-capitalist or something, said that you have to remove communist and leftist from society?
Yeah, that's just grotesque. I mean, that's not what liberty is about. And
right.
It's just, I've seen it go on social media. There's been a pushback against the hot bins, but they've kind of doubled down. And I hate to say it, but one of the biggest problems is Cantwell. Okay. He has, I'm sorry, but his take on libertarianism, I'm not so comfortable with. And I, to the point where I think he has made members of the alt-right feel like, oh, well, Cantwell's saying this, so maybe I'm a libertarian.
Right. Well, and he's not the only one. Stefan Molyneux apparently started doing that. Exactly. And, you know, there are several other people that fancied themselves libertarian philosophers that really went off the reservation on this.
And I think
we have mainstream guys like Tom Woods, who's in the League of the South, who's been photographed in front of a plethora of Confederate battle flags. And he's from Connecticut, okay? So he's still saying that, what, are you Connecticut Yankee that wants to secede with the South? I mean, what is that about?
Oh,
there's, know what it's about.
There's a lot of people within the libertarian movement that I think question the economics of the war between the states. And I'm one of those people. I mean, I saw it as an economic war and not as anything else. I don't know. I don't think that makes Tom Woods pro-slavery or anybody else.
I did not say that.
Oh, I know. I know.
Okay. But going forward, if libertarians are going to spend its time worrying about a war that tore us apart 150 years ago, how exactly are we going to come together to create, you know, a better stateless society?
Yeah.
It is, all this focus has made it very difficult for a lot of people to really, really take libertarians seriously. Because there's this alt-right thing is just, it seems to me to have been fueled by this sort of, well, I'm a thin libertarian. All that matters is property rights, non-aggression principle, and freedom of association. So racists are tolerated. And well, that's fine. I get that, but like, how about being a decent human being?
Right, right. And
liberty being populated by people that like this Muslim hate. It's horrible.
Right. If I can try to reassure you a little bit, what I can say is that, you know, we talk to a lot of people on here, and we talk to a lot of people that are libertarian. We talk to a lot of people that are not. I think the people that are truly libertarian, that. You know, small L libertarian, they could care less about the party, but they believe in doing the right thing and living right. You're not going to sway them, and I don't think you're going to sway them to the alt-right because it's too contradictory. It's acid and alkaline. Well, it's opposite.
Movement in libertarianism, the Trump movement last year, I beg to differ. I think that there's been a lot of sort of fascist kind of stuff going on, and it's,
you're
the
gonna
thing is indicative. There's too many people giving authoritarian a pass because of an other, a threat from the outside.
Right. But
speaks about this so well, and that's why I'm calling you guys, because you do deal with it, and I totally respect you guys. So,
well, what
I'm saying is just like
what I like think maybe, is a little different is that, you know, we kind of surround ourselves with people that more or less agree with the way we think. And that was, you know, part of the reason that I moved to New Hampshire, and maybe it was with Daryl too. But what I see the alt-right thing is personally, I just think it's going to be one of those things that's going to blow up big. It did with Trump's election. Trump said a lot of things that they really liked, and that really brought them to the forefront. Keep in mind, you know, a year and a half ago, nobody had heard the term alt-right, I don't think, you know, other than in a very limited context.
Correct.
So I think it is going to be one of those things that pops up. Yeah, it's going to pop up. It's going to do its thing. And you know, a lot of people will look at it and go, that's just completely insane. The majority of America, I think, says that right now.
Right. And one thing that I think is very interesting, the alt-right, by and large, is, you know, sort of that mirror image. And what I mean by mirror image is the opposite. You know, like it's, you know, the yin to the yang of the social justice warrior. They're the culture justice warriors, to where, you know, if somebody says something about, you know, immigrants have rights. They get all up in a tizzy. If somebody badmouths Trump, then they get all up in a tizzy. And I can't believe that Meryl Streep said, and right. I don't even know what Meryl Streep said. I've not listened to the speech. I just know bunch of people got their, you know, sensitive feelings hurt because Meryl Streep said something bad about the Cheeto president.
But in the same sense, I mean, to declare the alt-right the death of libertarianism, or it's going to be like this, you know, this blow that it can't stand. You know, think back to when
liberty cannot be killed. Liberty cannot be killed that easy.
Oh, of course not.
You guys, I respect you guys, Daryl. I respect what you do, and from what I'm hearing from you, I respect what you do too. And I'm happy to hear you guys make this definitive stand. Yeah, it's stupid. It's, you know,
I'm with you,
Eric. Thank you for the call. We've got just a few moments left, possibly time for you and your thoughts in the final segment. If you call in now, 855-450-FREE. Plus, what is going on in Rhode Island? We'll tell you. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Possibly time for you and your thoughts if you call in right now. And are you going to do some shopping? Because most people wind up, you know, having to do that at some point, right? Well, start your shopping at shop.freetalklive.com. We've got links to Newegg, Amazon, several other stores and whatnot on the shop.freetalklive.com. You don't wind up paying any more than what you would have anyway. Yep. The only thing is you're entering through our affiliate link so that, you know, Amazon winds up sending us a few pennies of what you send them. So shop.freetalklive.com. Something interesting happening in Rhode Island that hopefully we'll be able to get to first to the phones, where we've got Matt calling in from Wisconsin. Matt, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this evening?
Good, thanks.
Doing all right. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Oh, good deal. Yeah, I usually listen to the podcast so I can skip over all these crazy people like James and Sarah and all right guys, but stay. Something you guys haven't touched on in a while, Daryl, I was kind of wondering what the deal was. The Shire Free Church, it seems like you guys, I read your Free Keen blog that you quit doing the parsonage. I was wondering what that was all about, really.
No, so what closed down was the Keen Activist Center, and then it temporarily was rented out to Rich Paul, and he was running the Church of the Invisible Hand. He wound up leaving, so that shut down. But the Shire Free Church has not stopped existing, just couple variations of sort of an outreach tool shut down.
And not everybody on the air is a member. I'm not a member.
Okay. Yeah, cool. I mean, just listening to Jay Noon, Wednesday or on Wednesdays when he talks about the allodial title and stuff, I was just kind of wondering, you know, jumping back and forth, I guess what would be the, you know, out of opinion only, obviously this isn't legal advice, but, you know, I was wondering what his thoughts would have been, parsonage versus allodial title.
The allodial title, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because there is legislation pending in New Hampshire. It's going to wind up getting defeated, and getting defeated horribly. But there is legislation to recognize the right to allodial title, and this has been introduced several times before by Representative Dick Marple, who I believe has been mentioned on this show a few times because, you know, he's an 84-year-old guy that he just don't care anymore. He's not paid property tax in many years, so the town that he lives in is trying to steal his house. He doesn't have a driver's license. So he's got some charges on driving without a license, and he's got some court hearings coming up sometime soon that I'm fairly certain Ian's going to be at and record. But he introduced legislation relative to allodial title, And again, when this was heard a couple of years ago, the committee said that Representative Marple's understanding of the founders' intent of property rights is not the same as what the founders envisioned for property rights. Otherwise, those who wrote the New Hampshire Constitution would not have allowed for property tax. So the New Hampshire Constitution authorizes property tax, and a loyal title says that your land is exempt from property tax. So it's one of these conflicting statements of either the people that created the New Hampshire Constitution believed that you have a right to a loyal title, or they believe that the government has a right to tax your property. You can't have both of those positions at the same time.
Doesn't make it a bad idea, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. Daryl, when you guys are going through that whole court fiasco with the burden of proof, do you think because being an activist or maybe just being loud in general a little bit, and no offense or whatever, but do you think the burden of proof is subjective to the point where
that's not a court tactic that I've ever used, and I generally try to stay out of the courts. The last time I was in court, the officer actually didn't show up, so I got it tossed out because there was no witness. But what you're talking about is, I think, some of the Mark Stevens approaches of, can you prove that I'm under your jurisdiction?
Right.
What's the burden of proof is on I'm subject to your laws. And I honestly, I don't know. I think sometimes it only, quote unquote, works because the judge just doesn't want to deal with you and doesn't want to, file a bunch of paperwork. Toss it out. Right. But that doesn't mean that it's a, guaranteed thing of use this in any court. It's a guaranteed system. Yeah, and absolutely. Mark Stevens, even he advises his client, this is going to go one of two ways. Either it gets tossed out, or you get arrested for contempt. Do you still want to proceed? So, even the guy that advocates this knows that it's, not always going to work.
I'm sorry. I must have asked the question a little bit confusing. By what I meant of burden of proof, didn't the court system ask the Shire Free Church at the house that you or
you're talking about the tax exemption that the church has sought?
Yes, correct.
And go ahead.
Is it a subjective thing? Like just being an activist, or say I live in northern Wisconsin. There's like 5 people per square mile where I am. My internet service is 1.5 meg down. And everything, there's just nothing here, which is kind of nice. So I think if I paperwork and kept quiet type deal, I think maybe I would have more of a chance.
I don't know because the thing is, it's completely up to the discretion of the local board of appraisers. And a lot of the terms that wind up getting used in statute are not defined because, there's common sense definitions of what a church is. What is a parsonage? A parsonage is a place that ministers live. There's also a term that gets used in statute that is not defined in statute, and the definition that I found is basically it can be a parsonage, it can be a fellowship hall. The term is parish house.
Right.
And again, because there's not really any definition in New Hampshire statute, there are definitions in the IRS code. And if you read the IRS code, we most definitely qualify as a church and a religious institution. So therefore, we should qualify for the tax exemption. But because, the state statutes don't reference the IRS code at all, they can just say, nope, you're not, because we don't think you are, and we don't have to give a reason because,
Right. It's a challenge. It's always going to be an uphill battle. What, like I said, I'm not a member of the Shire Free Church or really any church, but I think it's really bad because it's protectionism of existing religions. At the expense of anything new that may come up, At some point in history, every religion was the new religion. You know what I mean?
Right.
Every church was the new church. And to stifle that, that really, really goes against my grain.
Right. And there was a court case, and Matt, thanks for the call. There was a court case in New Hampshire that did go to the New Hampshire Supreme Court a couple of years ago. It was the Church of the Sword was seeking a tax exemption. And basically what the courts ruled was, yes, Church of the Sword does have the word church in its name, but they operate more like a social club than a church. So just because you've got church in the name does not make you one. Otherwise, you know, Church's Chicken would be tax exempt because they've got the word church in their name too. And just because you'd say that we've got some books and we've got some rituals doesn't necessarily make you a religious organization either. So, you know, like there are certain things, and I think that the Shire Free Church definitely has a better claim to being a church or a religious organization than the Church of the Sword does, even though, you know, they've got rituals and they call them rituals, one of which is the ritual of disobedience to where everybody commits some kind of civil disobedience during said ritual.
Right.
And then they've got the ritual of pie to where, you know, they made up their own thing. They're like, we like beer and pie and LARPing. So, you know, we've got ourselves a church. This is Free Talk Live. We'll be back tomorrow, always online at freetalklive.com.
What do you shop for that you could otherwise buy at Amazon? Pretty much everything, right? Amazon has competitive pricing and they deliver, and that's a big plus. If you could plan ahead in your shopping, would you be interested in saving up to 33%? There's a catch. You have to do your shopping in Bitcoin, but imagine those savings. It's like a huge raise. All you have to do is go to saveitpurse.com. We've saved thousands, and you can too. Plan ahead and save. Saveitpurse.com.